Hallelujah.
Come up hither. Moses' divine encounter, part 2. We appreciate God for what he has started doing in our midst from the beginning of this conference. We read about Moses yesterday in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to verse 10, that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Yesterday, we saw that a divine encounter is necessary for a destiny turn around. We saw the impact of the divine encounter in the life of Moses. First of all, we saw that it was necessary for the restoration of his vision and passion. Moses lost vision. He lost passion. After 40 years of roaming in the wilderness, and the vision and the passion were restored by a divine encounter. Secondly, we saw the restoration of the hearing and direction that Moses had. Hearing was restored, direction was restored when Moses encountered God at the backside of the desert. We saw thirdly the restoration of his mission and mandate. What he was called to do, we saw that it was restored to Moses. Fourthly, we saw the realization of his mantle and power. We said yesterday that there can be the impartation of mantle or power, there can be an intensification, or there can be a realization. We saw all that yesterday. We are going to move to the next thing that happened to Moses at his encounter. And that is number 5, the reversal of enemy verdict and sentence. There was the reversal of enemy verdict and sentence. Moses had a verdict on his life. He had a sentence on his life that was reversed by one encounter with God. In Exodus chapter 2 verse 15, we saw that verdict. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. There was a death sentence on his life. There was a satanic verdict on his life. He was on the run and death was pursuing. But God said to Moses, I am sending you back to Pharaoh. I want you to go back and deal with who wanted to deal with you. It was a verdict of death. There may be people here seated this morning with diverse verdicts on your life, diverse enemy sentences. Yours may not be a sentence of death. Maybe it is a sentence of never get married. Maybe it is a verdict of never have a child. Maybe it is a verdict of the ministry should never grow. Maybe it is a verdict of you should never handle any tangible resources. Maybe it is a verdict of your family line should never see the light of day. Beloved, there are two kinds of verdicts that come on people. The one I called acquired verdict, where people acquire it by themselves, where the verdict they have, they deserve it. Like Cain had an acquired death sentence. He deserved it. He acquired it by himself. There was a death sentence on Cain that was his own doing. Like Moses acquired this death sentence by himself. He killed the man, and so they wanted to kill him. There are things that are happening to us that it is because of what we did. But there is also a second sentence or verdict that I called inherited verdict. Inherited sentence. This is not a function of what you did, but a function of what somebody did. For example, the children of Korah were killed, not because they went against Moses, but because their father did something that implicated them. Am I communicating at all? The children of Achan died, not because they did something, but because their father did something and that thing extended to them. The children of Gehazi were going to become lepers, not because they stole money, but because their father stole money. So there are acquired verdicts and there are inherited verdicts. Most of us are victims of inherited verdicts, victims of inherited limitations, victims of inherited embargoes. And I am here today by the mantle of God upon my life that every verdict, every embargo placed on your life by the devil, by this encounter, it is lifted. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Whatever is running in your family, whether they say you should die before your time, or they say you should never become anything important, or they say you should never fulfill destiny, you should never get married, or never have a stable marriage, or never have a child, or never have anything that is successful, I am here to announce by the mantle of God upon my life, the verdict is broken. The embargo is lifted. I prophesy today by the encounter that shall happen in this place that where nobody in your family has reached, you shall reach there. You shall cross it. Somebody shout, power! Let me tell somebody by yourself, I say, that verdict is lifted. That verdict is lifted. That verdict is lifted. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. Shatala. As it were, the name of Moses was on the hit list. You know what they call hit list? The list of people that must be hit with death. Everyone here whose name is on any kind of list, whether it's an occultic list, or whether it's a witchcraft list, an ancestral list, a generational list for evil, whether it is you or your children, today that list is set on fire. That is why the Lord brought you here. That list is set on fire. The Lord is saving you, is saving your children, is saving your brothers, your sisters, your loved ones. Somebody shout, power! Take your seat. That is the goodness of a divine encounter. It cancels the verdicts of the enemy. It destroys the expectations of hell. There are people here today, they are expecting evil for you. People are expecting to hear bad news from your life, bad news from your ministry, bad news from your family. But I announce today, the bad news shall happen in their quarters. That amen is too paralyzed.
the bad news shall happen in their families. It shall happen in their corners. It shall happen in their quarters. Shout the loudest, amen.
I am anointed to announce to somebody that which was looking for you to destroy, after this convention, you shall be anointed to destroy it. Who was looking for Moses to kill Moses? Pharaoh. Who was responsible for the death of Pharaoh? Who was looking for Moses to kill Moses? Who was later responsible for the death of Pharaoh? And the death of Pharaoh's firstborn. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Let me ask again. Who wanted Moses dead? Who was responsible for the death of Pharaoh's son? Who eventually was responsible for the death of Pharaoh himself? Are you hearing something now? All those forces that wanted you destroyed, after this conference, you shall be anointed to slay them. After this conference, you shall pursue your pursuers. You shall be anointed to destroy your intended destroyers. Shout power!
Look at somebody else. I said the pursuit is about to turn around. The pursuit is about to turn around. The pursuit is about to turn around. Shout power! Take your seat. Shakaka papa. There is nothing in the devil to be afraid of. The devil is a roaring lion, but he's an old lion. When old lions, when lions become old, they die of hunger. Someone say amen. So it was the reversal of a verdict. Every mark on your forehead that is an evil mark, today it is canceled. Everything they see in the realm of the spirit that is a negative signal regarding your life and your destiny, today it is deleted. From this moment forward, your forehead shall be stronger than the forehead of your adversaries, stronger than the forehead of witches and wizards, stronger than the foreheads of occultists. Somebody shout power! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
What did the encounter do for Moses? Number six, it was the fulfillment of prophecy. The fulfillment of prophecy, or the realization of prophecy. Israel had a 400-year-old prophecy on their head that they were going to live in the land of bondage for 400 years. And after that 400 years, they were going to come up out of the land into the land flowing with milk and honey. There are people here today, there is a prophecy on your head that has not yet fulfilled. There are people here, there is a prophecy on your family, on your community, that has not yet happened. Encounters make prophecies to happen. There is a greatness on your life that has been prophesied. That as you haven't seen it yet. There is a dimension of unction, a dimension of fire, a dimension of oil that had been prophesied that you haven't seen yet. There are some of us in vision and revelation and dreams. You find yourself in certain realms that you have not yet seen yourself in the physical. And you are asking yourself, when will this be, Lord? It takes an encounter. And there are some of us here. When what God wants to do in your life happens, there are people who will see you and start running. Because they can't comprehend the possibility. Am I communicating at all? And how many of you know that Satan fights prophecy? The enemy hates prophecy. He fights prophecy. He fights destiny. If God said it concerning your life, it will attract contention from the pit of hell. The prophecy of Israel was meant to be 400 years. They last 30 years. Devil added 30 years extra. They were in captivity for 430 years. I don't know about you, but I am in prophecy. Heavy prophecy on my life. Heavy prophecy on this commission. Heavy prophecy on everyone connected, related, associated with this oil. Heavy prophecy. Take your seat and let me show you something. What could be the reasons for prophetic delays or delays in the fulfillment of prophecy? Number one reason would be when the time is not yet, it appeared to be delayed. When the time is not yet, prophecy can delay or appear to delay if it is not yet time for its fulfillment. Secondly, prophecy can appear to delay if the beneficiaries are not sensitive to its timing. If the beneficiaries are not sensitive to its timing, Daniel was sensitive to the timing of the prophecy of the captivity of Judah. In Daniel chapter 9 and in verse 2, he understood by books the time, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He understood the timing, and because he understood the timing, the prophecy could not delay. When Jesus saw Jerusalem, he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you like a hen gather the chicks, but you know not the days of your visitation." You don't know the time of your visitation. So the things that belong to your peace are hid from your eyes. Since you don't know your time, what is yours is hid. What are the things that can cause prophecy to delay? Number three, I mentioned it already. Enemy confrontation. Enemy fight. Enemy battle. Especially if the prophecy is generational. Especially if the prophecy is humanity beneficial. What can cause prophecy to be delayed? Fourthly, is failure of enforcement. Failure of enforcement. In the book of
First Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 18. First Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 18, he said that this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. By these prophecies, war a good warfare. By these prophecies, war a good warfare. Prophecy are not wished into manifestation, they are warred into manifestation. You don't wish prophecy into manifestation, you war them into manifestation. They are not wished into manifestation, they are warred into manifestation. By these prophecies, you might war a good warfare. But once you have an encounter, the prophecy is in a hurry for performance. Is God speaking to someone here? Everyone seated here today that has a lingering prophecy. Every ministry, every business, every endeavor. Yes, because I am here. I know there are business people here that God has ordained to be controllers of wealth, to impact your generation and your world. And there are ministries here today, you have not even begun ministry at all. I prophesy, I announce, in the name of Jesus, your prophecy shall come to pass. That amen can be a better amen. That amen can be a better amen. Shout a louder believer's amen. Your prophecy shall come to pass. The promise of God in your life shall come to pass. The revelation shall come to pass. Shout yes!
For me, this place is the coming to pass of prophecy, of vision, of revelation. The vision and the revelation for the land itself was about 10 to 12 years before the land was sighted. But it came to pass. And then we are inside it. He told me, he said, tear shall cross across denominational lines. He said the dedication itself shall be a unification force. The things that we saw that day were not surprises. They were prophecies. That Baptist, Methodist, Anglican, Equa, Redeemed, Four Square Gospel, Living Faith Church, Deeper Life Church tomorrow, and everybody, all Christian fellowship, everybody is in agreement on the same ground that this is God and God is at work and God has won. The camp president told me, who is also the president of the whole of the Baptists in Nigeria, he said two things. He said, oh, we had our National Baptist Convention at the stadium last year. He said, I wish this place was built by then. We would have held it here. He said, this is my achievement. That's camp president. He said, because this thing happened under my tenure. He said, oh yes, it's part of the achievements of his tenure as camp president. That is, camp means Christian Association of Nigeria. The whole of the Christians in Nigeria, the president of it. He said, this is my achievement because it has happened under my tenure as president. Then he said, before I am out of office, I want to bring an international convention here. maybe World Council of Churches or something like that. I say something international. I say, I want it to happen here.
I say, you are welcome, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead. Bring them. Bring them.
God said it before. Before we came here, he said, diverse mantles will drop and will pass here before this event. He told us the implication of this center. Why am I saying all this? I am saying this because I want you to know you are standing in prophecy fulfillment. You are standing inside prophecy fulfillment. And you cannot be in the midst of fulfillment and end up in harassment. You cannot be in the midst of fulfillment and end up in embarrassment. You cannot be in the midst of fulfillment and be a victim of delay. I prophesy to you, the prophecies around your life, around your family, around your destiny, around your ministry, around your business, around your career shall come to pass in a hurry. They shall come to pass in a hurry. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shake three hands around you and tell them, get ready for the fulfillment of your prophecy by a divine encounter. Get ready for the fulfillment of your prophecy by a divine encounter. Somebody give Jesus a 60 seconds shout of victory. 60 seconds. 60 seconds. 60 seconds. 60 seconds. Shout of victory. Give him the shout of victory. The shout of victory. A louder shout. Look at your neighbor. Say whether the devil likes it or not. Say to someone, say whether the devil likes it or not. My prophecy. The prophecy on my life. On my destiny. Must come to pass. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Look at someone by the side. Say, you are inside the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, you are in prophecy. It's not by power. It is not by might. It is by his spirit, saith the Lord. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. This project, like you see, is a project commanded. And as it was commanded, God was committed until it was completed. Church was not under tension one day. Nobody had any extra. Most church members were shocked the first day they entered here. Am I communicating? They never knew what was going on. It's one thing for a building to be big. It's another thing for it to be beautiful. For it to be tasteful. Bishop Charles Ajinasari said when he came here, he said, nobody can dare this if God didn't ask him. Otherwise, they will hold his funeral in the uncompleted building.
They will hold his funeral in the uncompleted beauty. Am I communicating at all? We are in prophecy. You are inside prophecy now. As you step here to where you are coming from, you shall experience the fulfillment of your destiny. You shall experience the fulfillment of purpose. You shall experience the fulfillment of divine plan. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And finally, was that number six? Number seven. The results of the encounter of Moses was the rescue of a generation. God encountered the man for the rescue of a generation. How many of you know that divine encounters can produce three different results in terms of impact on people? First, there are those whose encounter delivers just themselves. It delivers them. They encountered God and they were delivered. For example, the thief on the right hand of Jesus on the cross. That thief had an encounter. His soul was saved. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. The man that was wounded on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho by thieves, when the good Samaritan touched him, he was saved from himself, for himself. Second, there are those whose divine encounters will deliver a family or a household. That is the reason why God is doing whatever he wanted to do with that person. It's not just for the sake of that person, but for a family, a household. When God saved Rahab the harlot, it was not just for Rahab that God encountered Rahab. He told her, you will bring your family, your father, your mother, everybody, put them in this house and tie this scarlet thread. There are people seated here. The reason why you cannot die is because your death means people's death. There are people seated here. The reason why you can't fail is because if you fail, a whole family will fail. Am I communicating? There are people there. Your standing up has made many stood. Your fire is producing many fires. And in case you don't understand, that is why you may have a lot of attacks. Because it is not you they are attacking. They know that when they are through with you, anybody connected to you is a walkover. Maybe you are taking a lot of heat. It's not for your sake. A household is tied to your apron. And that leads me to the third, which is almost the same like the second. And then there are those whose encounter delivers a nation or a generation. A nation or a generation. God encounters them for the sake of a nation, for the sake of a generation, for the sake of a territory. And my prime example here is Moses. Another example here is David. God is saying, I want to rescue you, Moses, because if you die, Israel is buried. As far as the bondage of Israel in Egypt is concerned, I created you to be the answer. I don't have another answer for that matter. If you die, there'll be too many deaths. If you fail, there'll be too many failures. If you are discouraged, there'll be too many discouragements. If you lose your fire, there will be too many people who lose their fire. If you fail to rise, there will be too many on the floor. I don't know who God is speaking to here today. And he's telling Moses, in case you are wondering, why Pharaoh wanted to kill all the children of Egypt, it is because of only you, only you, only you, only you. It's because of only you. Because they say, if we kill all of them, then whoever he is among them cannot escape. You don't understand. There are people who died when the enemy wanted to kill you. He wanted to kill you. Then he fired the arrows. It missed you. It hit somebody. It was you they were looking for. They were not interested in all the little boys. It was Moses they were looking for. Moses they were looking for. Moses, he escaped as a baby. Then he made a mistake and killed the man. And Pharaoh said, I kill you. He escaped Pharaoh again. Then Korah, Dathan, and Abiram said, we face you. Do you know the reason why they left David to go and face his father's flock? So that he could be killed. Little boy facing lions, facing bears. Help him. Little boy facing lions, facing bears. When he escaped, he was now left to the javelin of Saul. Finish this boy. Because Israel is tied to his apron. Finish this boy and finish Israel. There will not be a man among them because he's the only one with the heart of a lion. Finish him. But he was not killable. Why does the devil hate you? He doesn't only hate you, he wants to kill you. He is angry that you couldn't be killed. He's wondering why you are still alive. He's wondering why you are still surviving and succeeding. That is why you are not going to only have battles from the enemy, but battles from familiar friends. Who was the one that betrayed Jesus? What was his post? Who do you give treasurership to? Somebody you don't know. The person you don't trust the most. What was the sign he used to sell him? A kiss. He used the keys to kill. Keys to kill. Am I communicating at all? I came to the point where I'm not taken by surprise by anything. I came to that point. No manner of human being or conspiracy. None. Because the devil is after your focus. After, when they killed Samson, what did they go for first? It's after your focus, it's after your vision, and then after your mantle. They cut the hair, plucked out the eyes. I want you to understand here today, and I believe that I might not claim too much, but one of the greatest gifts God gave me is accuracy and precision in many things. It's not a boast. It led me into ministry once. It led me to one person for marriage. Sharp, 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 sharp. Just once. That is by his message. So I am sensitive enough to tell you, there are many of us standing here. Your life is not only because of yourself. There are people standing here. A whole family is hanging on your fire. A whole community, a whole congregation, a whole community. They are tied to your life, tied to your destiny. You may be the youngest in the family like Joseph. It doesn't matter. You may be the last born like David. It doesn't matter. You are a woman like Esther. God is happy. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Father, that encounter that will make me rescue my generation, I am available. That is why you must forget about anything you pass through, just for the sake of those connected to your life. For the sake of those, your life will change. For the sake of those, your life will heal. Your life will deliver. Your life will liberate. For the sake of those that need to stand because of you. Be upstanding. Be upstanding. I have said it many times. Your failure can be a generation's failure. A family, a community. Your discouragement can be the depression of a community. Your refusal to rise can be the sinking of a people. And if you are a pastor, the temperature of the congregation is depending on your temperature. Father, today, that Moses' order of encounter, I need it. God was telling Moses, because I have not been able to get your attention, people are dying. Because I have not been able to get your attention, women have lost their children. Because I have not been able to do what I want to do in your life, young men have died. Did you see what happened? Please remain standing. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 21. And Moses was content while people were dying. He was satisfied with where he was. the generation tied to his life, they have almost finished. He was happy doing normal things. He was happy with survivor. I have a job. I have a car. I have a house. I have a good ministry. I'm living well. I'm feeding fine. I'm dressing fine. The people came with pain and left with pain. The people are molested by the devil and they left with their molestation. I am okay. Every sign of ministry success, I have it. And Moses was content.
You see someone here like that? Where you are just oversatisfied with nothing. Satisfied with survival. And Moses was content. He was okay.
Nobody has achieved what I have achieved. For me, my restlessness just started. For me, my restlessness just started.
And Moses was content. You see, you can have so much confrontation until you become contented with nothing. You try your best, you encounter so much resistance. You move here. Let me not kill myself. Let me just relax.
Moses, the people for whose sake you were born are dying, and you are content. The reason why God created you is not working, and you are content. Because you have a salary, or because you have a good house to live in. And Moses was content. Let's read on. Verse 22. And she bare him a son. 23. And it came to pass in the process of time. See how God put it side by side. Whereas he was content, the children of Israel were sighing. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. What next did God do? Next verse. Now Moses. From Moses to the problem of the people, back to Moses. As God remembered the problem, and he wanted to do something about the problem, he returned back to the answer, Moses. You people are in problem, you are in challenge, I have watched your challenge, I have watched your confrontation, now I cannot come down directly to do anything, let me look for the man, Moses. Back from Moses, back to Moses. I don't know about you, but I will not agree to watch the generation, you, for whom I was created, to sink because I failed to rise. We're going to pray now with the passion you possess.
But there are good things in the life of Moses. I believe that frustration, confrontation, took Moses to that realm of comfort. Many good things. Three things I will mention. Number one, hatred for oppression. Moses peculiarly hated oppression. Those, I believe, would be his secret of divine encounter. Hatred for satanic agenda. He
If you are a man, you are a woman who has a heart that hates the devil.
You said you want your people in Northern Ireland and the UK to be set free, to be delivered from alcoholism, delivered from atheism, delivered from secular humanism, and delivered from witchcraft and occult, and delivered. We have that hatred. You see what the devil does, you hate it with a passion. You feel as if you should see the devil physically and kill him one day. Then you are online for encounter. Number two, compassion for people. Well, Moses, when he saw the daughters of Jethro being molested by some shepherd, he rose up to defend them without knowing who they were. A heart for people. Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. Moses was pleading with God to save Israel. He said, "And if you will not save them, clean my name from the book of life. Clean my name from your book. Send me to hell." God said, "Moses, give space. Let me wipe these people out. And out of you, I will raise a generation." It was a temptation. Most of us will fall for it. "You kill them and raise a generation out of me, here am I." He said, "No way, sir." People will say it's because you can't take them into the promised land. And then you brought them out of Egypt. What would we do? "If you won't forgive them, send me to hell and then do whatever you want. Clean my name from your book." The same people that wanted to stone him to death. A heart for people. We trust God for that heart today. And finally, passion for God's presence. Moses was ever passionate. He remained there for 40 days one time, and then 40 days another time. And then Moses, he led the flock to the backside of the desert, to the mountain of God. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. There was something that always pulled him towards God's presence. When he saw the burning bush, he turned aside. That was another pull. God is the consuming fire. It pulled him. Men who are pulled in the direction of God's presence, they don't escape divine encounters. If you are pulled in that direction, you don't escape divine encounters. I am aware that there are people here today. A whole family is waiting for your return. A whole community. Some of us here, a whole nation, sweating for you. "Lord, I am here. I am here. Give me a Moses encounter." For not just, there are times I pray to God and I tell him, I say, "This anointing I'm talking about, for me. Not for me. For those who are in pains." I will never be free of the pain except there is help. For their purpose, give me the oil. Try me with it. If I abuse it, take it. We're going to pray with passion. Today, give me an encounter. Let it take off every enemy verdict from my life. Let it bring to pass the fulfillment of prophecy, and let this encounter usher me to the rescue of my generation, the rescue of a family, the rescue of a community, the rescue of a people. Lift your voice and speak to God.